Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
He's the kind of guy that you give you everything and trust your heart, share.
Going to be at the Schnucks in Concord Plaza next week, part of our world tour, and then we'll be dialing up the Athlete of the Week, brought to you by our friends at Schnucks. You'll be able to vote online each week for the high school athlete, part of their commitment to the St. Louis community. Glad to have Schnucks on board. Looking forward to that. It's a little early probably to place our food request, Frank, but maybe I'll get you some almond croissants when we're at Schnucks next Wednesday.
Wait, there next Wednesday?
Next Wednesday.
Oh, do they have the sugar fire there?
Oh, I'm sure they do. Frank is ready to place his order. Come on by and see us next Wednesday.
I think it's Thursday, the 22nd, right?
Oh, yeah.
Next Thursday.
It's important when promoting a date to give out the proper date.
Go to Schnucks every day.
Yes, and use your rewards. Load up every time you do some shopping. Time now for 5 for Frank.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's 5 for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution, just 45 miles from St. Louis.
All right, Frank, level of concern about Albert O., who had the knee deal the first week and then now might have a hamstring deal, didn't take part in the scrimmage. They're downplaying it, but a little worried about him at this point, being healthy. I think it was shoulder last year. This is knee, hamstring. Sounds minor, but I'm starting to worry about him staying on the field.
Because he means so much to Kelly Bryant. He means so much to the offense, and he has a chance to be a first-round draft choice. He's 100% healthy. Absolutely. There's a lot of concern.
And I had forgotten about another weapon, the kid from Arkansas, Nance. Zach Choate was down there and said, you know, this guy, he led Arkansas in like every receiving cat. I know they weren't great, but led him in receptions, yards, touchdowns just 2 years ago. I think it's Jonathan Nance. They have some weapons.
And, you know, Nance is really interesting because he was one of the great recruiters with Kelly Bryant. Let's come together. And, you know, I don't know who actually committed first. But I know that Nance, at least according to the Missouri people, played a large role in Kelly Bryant being a Tiger.
And maybe when he scores a touchdown, Mike Kelly could drop a hello, friends. It is spelled differently. Todd Gurley, fantasy football. Pick him, don't pick him. What do you think? And speaking of injuries and whether you...
Oh, you stay away from him. Yeah. God bless him. I hope he rushes for 2,000 yards. But no, when they start mentioning the word arthritis and you saw how they played him, you know, very sparingly, you know, late... He may be fine, but boy, you would not pick him in the top five.
All right, percentage of golf swings that you would consider a successful round. So you swing it 70, 80 times. Like for me yesterday, playing in a scramble, I never play. If I hit 50%, like good shots, I'm really happy. But for somebody who plays more, wants more out of their game, is it like for you, like 90%, 80%? How many of your shots?
Oh, no, no.
70?
Yeah,
like
no.
Percent of your shots like you say are good.
Even, I've heard like a great player say, I only hit like 3 or 4 balls perfectly.
Really?
Yeah, I'm... Oh,
or that you feel good about.
If you
shot 50, you'd be fine, like happy. Oh, that was a great drive.
50% of the time if I hit good shots.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that.
I didn't know what a normal ratio is because I said, all right, that was a great drive, and then my iron like totally duffed it. Or you get a chip and then you had a bad putt.
Yeah, you know what's really crazy too, and now that you're into it, is it's amazing if you just used one word in your head, how much better you would be, and that word is tempo. Plowsy, you may agree with me on this, because as men, we want to have a baseball swing, we want to hit it further, but if we just have that Fred Couples tempo, that Annika Sorensen tempo, and it gets you all there at impact at the same time. You think it would be easy to master that you're just right there at impact in a smooth way. It's really tough to get there.
I think tempo, and Martin brought up a little bit, consistency is huge, because just think about going from 3 putts to 2 putts. I mean, that's 18 strokes. Like, I mean, it just... The little thing, consistency off the tee is crucial. Golf is the hardest, it's so difficult, but yet so fun, because at the beginning, you see you're knocking strokes off at a rapid pace. You know, when you first start, you're going in the woods, you know, you're getting 100 plus, and you can see how much better you're getting in a shorter amount of time. I love it.
And it's weird playing with your boss, because you don't want to look like a putz. You want to play pretty well, but then there's always that fear. Guys, this guy just golf all day, is he? You don't want to be too good,
yeah.
do you?
Be leery of guys that are really,
really
good at golf.
Good at golf. Like, yeah. What have you been doing all day? Like, hey, yeah. I don't have time for the game.
Yeah. Either you're a lousy employee or like a lousy father or husband.
Right.
But hey, that lousy father or husband is going to get some executive tournament that your boss wants you to play in, which gives you that, you know, you're kind of his bobo, which, you know, job security purposes is good.
Yeah. The best part about Alex's job, they send him like to San Francisco to play in a Cisco. Yeah. I mean, what a life.
Box for Dom, golf for Alex. All right. Have you heard the term swatted? This happened. The kid who was the Fortnite champion, remember, he won $3 million playing Fortnite. He was online, and I guess people are watching him or they're online with him. And he goes, oh, God, I've been swatted. And then he goes offline. And I've never heard of this. I'm assuming you've heard of this, Plaza.
Oh, I have. There are video, plenty of people. There's a lot of stories of people getting, you know, 10, 20-year prison sentences for it as well, because it's similar to a bomb threat, you know?
So, Frank, this is what it's called, swatted. Somebody calls in a prank, but they say, for example, oh, Frank's over at his house. He's got the house barricaded. He's got all kinds of guns. He's a threat to people.
It's a meth house, you know, something like that.
And then the SWAT team literally responds and breaks your door down and wants to arrest you, and you're sitting there having lunch with Monique.
But goodness.
So this actually happened to this kid while he was playing his video game. And it's more common, they said, in the video world where somebody wants revenge because they lost a battle, Tour of Duty or something.
You see it all of the time in video games, and it's so weird. Like, I'm so glad I'm not that guy.
And a guy in L.A. last year did get 20 years for swatting
a
friend.
And as he should, you're wasting everyone's time, money. I mean, are you kidding me? It's ridiculous.
I had never heard of that.
Yep.
All right, finally, Five for Frank brought to you by Greenville University. Give me Jack Flaherty's line tonight. He's been so good.
I'll go 7 innings, 1 run.
All right, I'll be a little negative. I'll go 6 innings, 3 runs. Just, he's been so good, but I'll say that park maybe it stinged a little bit, but I'd say they win the game.
33 games under 500 for those Royals.
And remember, Dayton Moore told us last year, we're a little ahead of schedule. We thought we'd be this bad next year. Remember, he said he loosely said that. Let's see here. Rick Horton has responded. I said, what's in your CD player, a.k.a. what are you listening to? He said, he's doing Silence. He said, I'm really enjoying it. Yesterday.
Sorry to interrupt there, Rick.
Yeah, except for some idiots that called me. What if he wrote Brian back? Thanks for the invite, guys. I'm going to enjoy some silence.
This is a silent trip.
I don't mind that either, though. Just kind of clear your head a little bit, some thoughts. He said yesterday he was listening to Torrin Wells. I'm not sure if I know who that is. I'm going to look that up. And I also have to salute Frank because he did get a, from Rick, that's a really good question.
And we got one from Rick Lehman,
Well, he said that was a very well-put question, which is totally different.
For those of you at home, anytime one of our guests says, that's a great question, we immediately, that person lifts their arms in the air because we keep track each week. And we give out a...
Frank may have thrown out his back celebrating, to be fair.
We give out an almond croissant for the winner each week. All right, let's welcome to the program the great Kenny Wallace. Kenny, what do you have in your CD right now?
Well, first of all, am I really great, or are you just saying that because you love me?
A little bit of both, but you look at your...
Yeah, well, I love you too, Frank. What was the question again?
What are you listening to in the car? Books on tape, music, talk radio, what do you listen to?
Always everything. Seriously, a little bit of everything. 590, some of your competitors, Howard Stern, 102.5, 103.3. It just depends, man. I'm everywhere. I'm like a... You know how crazy I am. I'm like a bouncing ball.
But you're on the road a lot, and your Buddha is your guy. He's traveling with you a lot. Do you guys just talk the whole time, or do you ever put in a – I guess there's no cassettes anymore, but do you guys ever listening to anything collectively?
It's kind of like the channel of the day or month. So, you know, because we can't get 590 when we're up in Michigan or somewhere, we'll turn on channel 17 on SiriusXM. That's one that we – zoned in on.
Is that Elvis? Because, no.
No, it's a little bit of everything, you know. You know, it's a funny story. I was, you know, at workplaces, right? If you go into somebody's workplace and let's say it's where people are, you know, doing mechanics or they can listen to a radio, right? I find that if there's 3 people in a room, there's no radio playing. And this just happened about 3 weeks ago. And I said, why don't you all have a radio playing? They said, we cannot agree on the station. So they don't play nothing. I'm like, I'd quit here, man. Y'all crazy.
We got to get your phone. And by the way, I'm going to load your phone up with the 590 app so you can take Martin and Frank everywhere you go.
I'll get it right now. I never even thought about it. I've been, you know, just kind of going everywhere. I'm going to, when we get off the phone here, I'm going to go to lunch and I'm going to put it on.
All right, Kenny, a quick auto racing question. I was with the guys from Worldwide Technology Raceway the other day, and they're going to downplay it. They don't want to be the ones out there. But it's no secret that NASCAR is going to do some realignment for the 2020 season, and they're thinking about maybe taking a race away from Michigan, taking a race away from Kansas City, and then moving it to other cities. Those tracks would still have at least one NASCAR race, but they wouldn't have two. I would think another great showing at the Bomarito 500 in St. Louis has positioned themselves pretty good. What's your take?
Well, you know it, and I'll just confirm it. So, big talks, and it's ricocheting throughout NASCAR. In other words, I've heard NASCAR people even talking about it. I believe what will happen, or we can hold faith that it will happen, is NASCAR is starting to look at like midweek shows. Like they want to experiment with, like, say something on a Monday night, Wednesday night, something like that. And I believe we are going to be lucky in St. Louis. I think our racetrack across the river could be one of the first racetracks to hold a, I don't know what series. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, or the Truck Series. But I believe Gateway could be the first NASCAR racetrack that will hold a midweek show, you know, to see what will happen. Will it bring ratings? Will it put people in the grandstands? Don't know when, maybe next year, but, you know, I can't wait.
And you're always quick to comment on, you know, NASCAR attendance and people saying it's down. And I think over the weekend at Michigan, they had a nice turnout for that race, and there was sort of a sentiment. You were saying that NASCAR is kind of in the beginning of a bounce back somewhat in terms of attention, ratings, attendance. Is that something that you've seen recently?
As crazy as I am, I do full with stocks, and I read the Business Journal all the time. And so, you know, NASCAR, you got SMI, which is Speedway Motorsports Incorporated, which is Bruton Smith. He owns some of the tracks. Then there's ISC, International Speedway Corporation, and NASCAR owns that. So they're a publicly traded company. And I read a really nice article that all the professionals believe that NASCAR is where they need to be right now. It's not going down. Actually, it's leveled out. In other words, what we have is what we have now. It's not going down. And actually, it's leveled out. And we're seeing some nice crowds. We're seeing some good TV ratings. And I was just merely making the statement that when you look at the grandstands at the Michigan Speedway, I mean, no matter what it used to be 10 years ago, we don't do that anymore. We don't look in the past. We're looking in the future. And there's no doubt that there was 60 to 80,000 people there. And I know 20,000 is a big, you know, split, but there was a lot of damn people there. And there's a good guy to follow on Twitter, Stern. Not Howard Stern, but he really has got it right. And I believe the TV ratings were around 1.6, 1.8. So, you know, right at a couple million people tuning in. I mean, hey, that ain't bad, man.
I like that. That ain't bad, man. All right, and then other people were engaging on the best year, the worst year. Somebody said, hey, Kenny, look at this. The new kid in town. It's a slick-looking car. It's got the Dirt Devil logo on the hood. It's you as a youngster, and you said, that's the worst year of my life, 93.
Yes. So those were my demon years. That's the year I'll never forget, but I can't bear it. So I was winning a lot. In the NASCAR Xfinity Series, I had won 9 races, and, you know, nothing was going bad for me. So I went to the big show. I went to the Cup Series and just, you know, got my ass handed to me. You know, there's a lot of reasons, but, you know, we don't cry over spilt milk is what I say. It's done. But it was just it was a bad year for me, man. I, for so many reasons. And, you know, we overcame it the next year and prevailed in a lesser series. We went back down to the Xfinity Series and won 3 races that next year, and I rebounded. And there's a lot of rebounds in my career. I never was an A driver. You know, I guess you could say I was one of those players in the Cardinal organization where I was up and down from AAA. But, you know, we still put up some good numbers, and we made a great career out of it.
You know, we saw the Cardinals fire an assistant hitting coach. What's the equivalent on the race team? Did you ever fire, like, the front left tire guy? And certainly there's the crew chief, who's sort of the manager of the whole team. That dynamic intrigues me because I can't look at a race team and figure out who would be the hitting coach, who's the pitching coach. Is there any parallel?
Yeah, absolutely. So think about it this way. The Daytona 500 pays $1.5 million to win. You get sponsor bonuses, and the car comes down pit road for its very last pit stop. Okay? Now, compare a pit crew to any type of baseball football team, whether it's offense or defense. It just doesn't matter. You have, you know, 6-7 players go over the wall, and they have to change 4 tires, put gas in, make sure the driver's good, and send him off in, you know, 14 seconds. I mean, that's what it needs to be. So if one of those crew members consistently messes up on one of his jobs, he can keep that car from winning the Daytona 500. So if that crew member continually messes up, say, 2 weeks in a row, they go to the pit crew coach. And the pit crew coach is the guy that, you know, they practice every day, every week, and he's in charge. And you go to the pit crew coach and you go, okay, what's going on here? And because he is in charge of those people. And I know it's not well known in the sport, but the pit crew is a complete separate entity from the race team. They are players that come in, and a lot of them are, you know, hockey players that used to play hockey, a lot of retired NFL players. And those are the people you see changing the tires, gassing the cars, jacking them up on pit road on race day.
Kenny, I didn't know that. Yeah, hockey and
hockey
NFL,
and NFL players?
I'm trying to picture that.
Really?
They do it just because they get a kick out of it?
You will see. Well, no, my God, they make a lot of money. You'll see Brett Hull type players, guys that are, say, you know, 5'8", 5'9", got legs built like tree trunks. You know, like a Brett Hull, and those guys come in and they make $1,500 a week, and they'll get bonuses for any pit stops that are under, say, 15 seconds. They have a lot of, I mean, those pit crew members easily make $150,000 a year. Think about it. Car comes down pit road. It's the difference of winning or losing $150,000 that day. So those guys make really good money.
Good stuff. Kenny, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
All right. The new duo, Martin and Frank. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, you got it right, too. Martin. Boss. Have to send him. That was well stated there, Kenny.
All right. Somebody asked about this this app I mentioned. It's called Libby, and you have access to John Grisham and all the great authors. I'm looking at a Grisham book right now called Camino Island. So it's called Libby.
So just an app that you download, and you can get access to any book.
Yeah, book on tape. Martin, I'm sorry, but when I heard Rick Horton mention Chris Carpenter, only one word came to mind. Shh.
You know, I was at, where was I? I was at Schnucks last week, and a guy came up and said, "Hey, Big Shush, what's going on?" And I had to stop and say, I'm like, I haven't heard that name in at least 10, 12 years. That was a cat joke. Jim Hayes, the cat, named me that because at spring training, famously with the morning grind, we were outside that clubhouse, and they were just sitting there like the picnic table that they do the shows every year at spring training. And for those who don't remember, we were doing the show, but I had my back to the field, and they were doing a dedication to George Kissel.
Oh, no.
And they did it at like 9 a.m., and we're on the air. Normally, you're just sitting there yapping. It's fine. But I think La Russa called all the players out to honor George Kissel. So Tim and Jim can see this, so they stopped talking. And I got my back. I'm like, all right, we'll get to those calls and those texts and all that. I'm just yakking away. And somebody taps me on the shoulder and just goes, shh. And it was Chris Carpenter. Hence the name.
Wow.
Thanks for that great memory.
Not respecting George Kissel or the deceased.
Wow. I've had to come a long way back with the DeWitts to work things out. But that's my great Chris Carpenter memory. And I don't know what we did. I think we probably just said, we'll be right back. And Plowsy, your equivalent back then was like, oh, God, why are they going to a break? They're just 2 minutes into the segment. I got shushed by Chris Carpenter, though.
Very nice.
At least it was a star player, yeah. Right? And you could that fits his personality. That doesn't make it puts me in good company. The Brendan Ryans of the world, we've all been yelled at by Chris Carpenter. It's a badge of honor.
All right. Mizzou, by the way, just picked up, just got this on the text line, just got a defensive tackle from Mississippi, and he had offers from Auburn, Tennessee, Florida, and LSU. Just committed to Mizzou 18 minutes ago, as we see online. How about that?
Good for Mizzou. I also wrote down from Dr. Rick, instead of Frank's very well put question, which doesn't qualify, you can lose weight like stink. There are a few more additions to the Dr. Rictionary. Hey, just enough time for the end of the day.
The end of the day.
Okay, when's the end of the day?
At the end of the day, it's going to be tough to tell someone they might not be in it.
At the end of the day, even though there's moments where you're like, I don't want to do this.
So yesterday, jokingly, because I know a big debate among Cardinal fans, and in media included, is what to do with Michael Wacha. Do you do an opener? Is it just one time through the order? How do you handle his starts moving forward because he is the fifth guy in the rotation? I jokingly, because I still really enjoy that Jason Wirth story about the advanced metrics hitting guy going, you know, instead of grounding out to third in that at-bat, you should have hit a home run. So I looked it up. You know, in wins this year, Michael Wacha has a 2.9 ERA. So what he should do is he should win.
Okay.
All right.
And then someone replied mentioning that DeGrom last year had a lower ERA in losses than what Michael Wacha has in wins this year. He had a 2.7 ERA in losses. So I decided to look up, just out of total curiosity, who in baseball history, minimum of 100 starts, has the highest ERA in games that he won, in decisions that he won?
Adam Wainwright.
That's not Wainwright. This is baseball history.
Okay.
It's a guy named Earl Whitehill,
oh, yeah.
Who I wouldn't expect you to remember. Pitched in the 20s and 30s. But what I found interesting was 5 of the top 15 pitched for the Cardinals under Tony La Russa. Those five.
Oh, Jeff Suppan?
Jeff Suppan's fifth.
Jason Marquis?
Marquis is 15th. See if you can name the other three.
Okay, hold on. They were
Woody Williams?
Woody Williams is 13th. Two more did not pitch much.
Oh, Stottlemyre.
Yes, one more. He's third all time.
I'll
give you a hint. I'll give it away. Game six.
Oh, not Kent Bottenfield, the other guy. Westbrook.
Yes.
Jake Westbrook.
Jake Westbrook had a 2.61 ERA, tied for the second highest ERA in wins.
And we have
five of the 15, which I felt was odd. That's a sizable number.
Yeah, it is.
For baseball history. News in Major League Baseball. The Phillies have fired their hitting coach and have named, and this kind of has to get under the skin a little bit, Charlie Manuel is now the hitting coach of the Philadelphia Phillies.
He's back?
He's coming back, which I have to ask then. You know, you have Whitey, you have Joe Torre, you have La Russa, you have Matheny. Who would you bring back and in what role?
Oh, interesting. I'd bring Whitey back to put him on the bench, and he would just have insight the whole game. Like, this kid up here, he can't hit a lick. Go ahead and pitch to him. Like, he would have immediate takes on everybody on the field.
Charlie Manuel is 75.
75, and but I mean, I know he's kind of a folk hero in Philly for winning a World Series, but just being a deeply interesting person.
You should say. You don't have to wear a uniform. Just wear some khakis. You know, we don't need to see him in pajamas.
Sure, that's an interesting hire.
Is, but it has to kind of get under the skin a little bit if
of
you're
Gabe
Kapler. Because, well, you're hiring the guy who I replaced to be underneath me. What's going on? We're underachieving a little bit this year.
He is a likable fellow, though.
Yes.
Chuck, I mean.
Our list of candidates, La Russa, Torre, Whitey, nobody's real young out of that group there. I'm just trying to picture them.
Whitey would be the most entertaining.
I'm telling you, he's like Don Zimmer. You just sit him on the back of the dugout. He doesn't have to move. And he just constantly has a take on things.
You know, Gary Thorne is an accomplished broadcaster. ESPN a number of years, would call baseball playoffs back in the mid-90s, was the voice of the NHL for a long time when ESPN had the rights to it. Probably wanted to settle down a little bit, just have one gig, not travel so much. So he took the play-by-play television broadcast position with the Baltimore Orioles. And for a little bit, that was a good job. And since then, the Orioles have been terrible. Gleyber Torres has now, it's August 13th, he's hit 13 home runs this year against the Baltimore Orioles. And I have the 13th home run last night. Here's the call, and you can tell poor Gary has just had enough.
Oh, way back left field. You got to be kidding me. Goodbye, home run. I swear to the Lord, you you got to put four fingers up when Torres comes to the plate. Tom Messerman, watch him hang his head. Get out of here. Get out of here. Paul O'Neill's giving me a hard time. Go back to your own booth.
Paul O'Neill went from the yes booth to Raz Gary Thorne, who is in the middle of another brutal season as Orioles broadcaster.
At least, he says he's keeping in good spirits.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, our theory about the oldest people in the world are play-by-play broadcasters. Gary Thorne, 71. Doc Emmerich,
71? I would not have guessed that.
Doc Emmerich, 73. Jim Palmer, 73. Bob Costas, 66.
I would not have guessed 70s for Gary Thorne.
Oh, 71. I just picture him. Maybe I haven't seen him in a while, but my visual him, he's like, you know, 54, 55 in my head.
John Miller, let's see.
70-ish?
Probably approaching 80.
John Miller.
He's been in the booth for
years. By the way,
Dan's
John Miller is underrated.
Very good. John Miller, wow, I'm way off. I'm sorry, John. He's 67. John, I apologize.
Would you have him at 80?
I was guessing 80 for John. He kind of looks 80.
Looks a little older.
And he has that Roger Ailes look.
Yes, he does.
Roger Ailes, Willard Scott-ish.
He looks older than Gary Thorne.
Curly on the Three Stooges. Majerus.
And finally, I am curious because Rick Horton brought up arbitration for Jack Flaherty coming up in a couple of years when, you know, hey, they'll probably use wins against him. You know, when there's a new Supreme Court judge, they debate if he's conservative or liberal in his interpretation of certain laws. You think agents know like which judges are advanced metrics or old school? Like, oh, we got this guy. He hates advanced metrics. He doesn't even visit Fangraphs. He's big on the win. You're screwed. Or this guy hates the win. We're going to use your FIP. We're going to use – we got you. We're fine. Who cares if your win total was in the single digits last year? We're good.
I bet that happens. Hey, who'd you get? Oh, man. Load him up on FIP.
Oh, this guy hates OPS. I'm screwed. He's big on average.
They'd be like, "Who's it? It's Judge Kilquint." Yeah, he doesn't get any of that stuff. Just tell him wins and losses. That's fine. ERA, that's fine.
That is the end of the day. I want to mention real quick that it is the summer of golf, and that's brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Light beer that doesn't weigh you down while you're golfing. Michelob Ultra, thanks to Walter's Golf Management, Michelob Ultra will be giving you a chance to get out on some of the nicest courses in town to try out your game and the best light beer for the course. Throughout the month, Five Night of the Fan and Michelob Ultra will be giving away twosomes to some of the best courses in St. Louis, including Far Oaks, Stone Wolf, Gateway National, and many others. Stay tuned to 590 The Fan for your chance to win. And remember, when you're out on the course, make sure Ultra is your beer of choice. Michelob Ultra, live fit, live fun, live Ultra. And who are we giving the tickets away to? Did we decide if we're giving it to the father and son?
There's another one there. It's tough, too.
Oh, I thought that was being... I don't
think that was not true.
Sounded facetious. Like he was really trying to...
Saying that his father had... Did he say his father had passed? And he wanted to take
his dog died and I don't know.
Okay, let's go with the first one. The first one was definitely legit.
Yes.
We'll review it as a staff here.
Yes.
We will be in touch with you.
Hollywood Casino, title sponsor. Go to Hollywood Casino's website. Find out about the activities. They're just giving cash away. Food is great. The activities are unbelievable. It's a great place to spend a weekend, and there's no better place to watch a concert than Hollywood Amphitheater. We appreciate them being a part of the program.
And the Cam Jansen Extravagant, Chuck Marlowe, Hannah, the whole gang on deck here. We'll see you back on Wednesday at 10 o'clock.